Against the Grain Radio Show with your host, Nona Sam, live now.
Hello, everybody. How are you today? I just saw a few things on Facebook that have royally just... Oh, man. Today has been an interesting day, I'm not going to lie, for the crazy coming out on Facebook. It's Wednesday today, December 5th. We have Andre back with us. I saw on a Facebook group, I'm not even going to lie, this poor woman, she had her OB. You know, if you're in birth at all, especially as a birth worker or a doula, you know... there are a lot of OBs out there that'll just do a cervical sweep without your consent. A lot of moms that I've had, I've also admitted to this on my Facebook, to having to go, like, they go to their appointments and then, you know, you just following what your doctor says, you go ahead and your doctor's like, we're going to do a cervical check today because that's part of your routine appointment. So, okay, you go and do this. And then they do a membrane sweep without your consent. And basically they just stick a finger between the membranes in your cervix there and they give it a good, they separate it. And if your body is ready to go into labor, then that works. But if it's not, it's just going to be very painful, lead to a lot of cramping, and make the last couple weeks absolute hell. And doctors started doing this at 38 weeks because... God forbid you go past 40 or even 41 weeks if you're pregnant. So she went ahead and she made a complaint against her doctor and, oh my God, the people at the desk started talking to all the doctors and all the other doctors won't take her anymore. So she just got completely screwed by all the doctors there. Not only did she complain because what this doctor did was technically illegal, she just got put on the back burner and totally ignored by the rest of the doctors there because she made a complaint. Instead of, you know, a doctor being a good doctor, be like, yo, like, I'll take you on as a client because, you know, what he did wasn't right. Nope, they just totally barred her from absolutely everything. She has nowhere else to go. And that's just one of the things I saw on Facebook today that has just royally pissed me off. So... now that we're all reared up and angry here, we're going to be talking to Andre. So last week, we talked about things like community. We talked about, we started going into equity. We started going into sovereignty. We talked a little bit about birth stuff, birth certificates, contracts, that kind of stuff. He went down to Jamaica for a little while. I guess he's popped back up to Canada and, you know, moving around up there. I bet you the temperature is not so great, hey?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good.
I'm here.
Woohoo, glad you're here.
Excellent. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be on again. Thanks a lot.
Yay!
And how is the sound? How is the sound right now? Are we good for volume for our listeners?
You betcha.
Okay, so yeah, I'm actually right now, I went live on my Facebook, so don't go and watch that one because we're also live there, so you get feedback. So,
you bet.
Yeah, I'm wondering if anybody has comments on, like, you know, here or there, share the comments, like, or, yes, sir, we got Mark already in Detroit there, some real American muscle here. And, yeah, so everybody's hearing us. And so, yeah, thanks again for having me on. I feel special about that. And as we know after, we know there's still much more to get into, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is a never-ending topic. It is always growing. It is always diverse. There's always more to learn. Just making a quick Facebook
that
post here to let everybody know.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, basically last time, obviously, we opened a lot of cans of worms for, you know, there could have been a lot of questions. And, you know, that's one of the things that being sort of like, you know, doing what we're doing, trying to gather people together for the message, we sort of have to keep it open to everybody a little bit too, and then see what everyone thinks. Because we weren't just born into, or even born, that's a whole other topic, born identity practically, but, you know, we're not born with all it. So how did you and I get to this thing where, hey, you know what? It's like a magnetic force that comes together, like a Rastafarian similar type of thing, you know? So what did you, do we have any feedback as to like what the talking points today, what did our listeners want to hear type of thing? Did you have, I know you started off with the birth things and we have a lot about that with people on the land. What did you think, Samantha? By the way, everyone, this is Samantha.
Hi, everybody.
Say hi to Samantha.
Well, hello, everybody. I hope everybody out there is doing
I could share your name for all the listeners if you want, but I mean, Sam is in the radio booth here doing her thing to, like, you know, band together with the knowledge, essentially, right, Sam? And people will likely get bonded together magnetically. You know, we have Cameron out in L.A., or sorry, California, I meant, C.A., California. Big shout out to Cameron because he's a real deal. And we've real deal Rasta thing, you know? So what were you thinking, Sam? What were some of the questions that were left unopened in your opinion from last part one?
Well, I don't have any questions specifically, but whenever, how do I phrase this? In terms of leaving the system, I have, like, a lot of people who are highly interested in things like how to travel without a license, how to exit the system entirely, how to go to school, how to do those kinds of things, or how to build your own commune. I know there's a lot of questions around land, how to get that out of the government, how to do your own job. Like, there's a lot of questions regarding how to do things alternatively.
I think that we got a lot of talking points right there, and I'll interrupt if that's okay for a minute.
Feel free.
So it really starts, I'm going to kind of go to the beginning, birth date, and I'm also going to stick in the, you were asking about the land, you know, sort of removing the jurisdiction levels of the land, because once you strip away all the jurisdictions, what was this land a few hundred years ago? Who entitled who to have what land, and who has the right to what, where, and when, and how, all that stuff, right? So, and then it goes back to birth, like you were mentioning right away about the things that they're doing during the childbirth, and then one of the big things that around that is the whole, you know, if the baby made it through healthy, you know, now let's bag and tag it with that birth certificate, which goes back to the Vatican, the placenta, the DNA, the collection. Yeah, okay, it might sound like we're landing on Mars here, but it's stuff that happens because I've delivered babies myself. You know, I didn't quite deliver like you did, but I was close enough to, you know, learn the procedures, right? So we have right there our first, and that's almost a bag of talking points that we could feed off of. And then it goes right from birth date to Vatican, and then you mentioned license and traveling. Well, I mean, it depends on how you reverse your jurisdictions, right? What contracts are you in that you didn't know about? Like the one your mother gave you most likely, or mother and father, when they signed you up for a birth certificate, which is you become surety for that name when you're 18, basically, right? So, I mean, what do you think about that in terms of, you know, talking points for, like, how does that steer into basically what you started the show off with about the birth, the birthing, the doctors, you know? I know the vaccine is a really big thing. Like, I tuned in before on another show. So I'm sure with all that, we have a lot of talking points, but... you know, I'd like to know if any of our audience has sort of, what are they interested in terms of more information about this stuff?
I find a lot of the people that I know, they need to start at the basics. And it's not that it can get a little, I'm not going to say frustrating or tiresome. It's just, I find for the people who are new or the people that are still trying to get a grasp on the basics, because I know, like, even for myself, going back to the basics, I constantly have to go over the basics again and again and again, because I tend to forget when I get so advanced. I have to come back and, you know, start fresh. You always have to make sure that your base is
baby
nice
food.
And sturdy.
Baby food.
Baby
sometimes
food, exactly.
People,
I
they
did
don't
have
realize
big
they need baby
base.
Food.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's always starting from the beginning and doing it in layman's terms rather than legalese. I know I will point people a lot to, like, well, you know, they'll ask, well, where do I start? Will you start here? You know, I always point people towards the dictionary first. Go to the legal dictionary, go to the law dictionary, and start checking out things like definitions. When you start looking at things like, you know, transportation and vehicle and, you know, all these other terms, and you start realizing they're commercial terms, then you can really start getting a grasp. I know there's another, like, starting to look at things like international law, natural law, things like equity, contract law. There are a lot of people out there that I just realized that do not have any clue, like, about contract law. And I was one of those people up until, like, this last year or two. You know, it's like when you've got, like, I had an issue with SAS Power. They came clamping down on me this last summer, basically told us that we owe them, like, oh, fuck, like $1,000, and it needs to be paid in 15 days or they're cutting off our power. It's like, whoa, like, we do not have $1,000 right now, and if you cut off our power, it's still too cold enough outside that it's going to freeze our pipes, and some days it's too warm, it's going to warm everything up in our freezer. So not only are we going to lose all of our food that we rely on, it's going to destroy the pipes in our house. It's going to kill our chickens. It's going to completely destroy our house. It's going to make our house unlivable, and we need that power for our septic as well. So our septic is going to back up in the house, and it's going to render our house completely unlivable. So by you cutting off our power, it's going to create undue hardship and essentially destroy our lives. And they don't realize, like, they know if they cut off our power, we got no other company to go to. We have no other company to go to. So I sent them a nice little
it's
notice
not a free
saying
market.
That they don't give us
yeah.
a payment plan. Huh?
It's not a sort of open market to have, like, it's like a racket. Like any time, and you know, getting back to the original owning the land and everything, grants, there's patent land grants and stuff like that. But, you know, originally, who's going to build the roads, right? But guess what? Originally, everybody built their own little piece of the road. It connected to the next guy. Same with those infrastructures like hydro. Those were mm-hmm. started by the people, then hijacked by corporations through, you know, I guess manipulations at the time. Or, hey, you know, you should hook into this and let us take care of it. And, you know, we're here from the government. We're here to help, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But those
absolutely.
Were, you know, and it's similar. It shines similar, too, in the thing that here's something that man and woman had that was taken from the government. So when you strip mm-hmm. it all away, the land you're on was stripped away from the government, too, like stripped away from you. Your access to it through your statuses, you know, is limited or more than, you know, as they remove jurisdiction levels. And that's sort of through the contracts, right? What are you allowed to do with this when, you know, it really comes down to you've been given a life to your authority over your life that you've been given. But you're basically mm-hmm. being corporatized in this artificial, what they would call legalese person. Because we as man and woman are not persons. We're not corporations on paper. So that's where you get caught in this. If someone doesn't know what you're saying when you say person, that's where it comes from. It comes from the birth and the birth date. So once you remove those, you remove, like, I'm just basically, if I say, look at me, I'm a caveman. I just came out of this cave over here. I have no idea where I am. Police come up to me. Your birthday, this and that. Sorry, I came out of the ground and I have no idea anything that you're talking about exists. It's all hearsay. So if you actually mm-hmm. brought that to a courtroom setting, mm-hmm. you can't have that lead. You're not, you know, if you don't have any mm-hmm. charging instrument, there's nothing to bind to it. So, mm-hmm. and it all starts at the birth, right? The beginning,
yep.
the birth
yep.
of the child, and then the mother's all, like, you've been through that. You have more experience than me, I believe. And mm-hmm. and then you're in that state, and here, sign some papers and rush it all through, right? As opposed mm-hmm. to let me get rested and better educated on everything, and then I'll make a decision what has to be done. What are my options mm-hmm. I can do? And then when the kid's 16, well, he wants to drive a car, what can he do? And what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are those options? But if your mm-hmm. mom has already done the birth certificate, I think birth certificate really should come down to something where your basically created property that you made is out, and then they become 16 or 18, or, you know, they're mature at 13, you could tell them there's a contract with the government that they'd like to make with you. I strongly mm-hmm. suggest you send out information to say, you know, if there's any assumed contract out there that you've created without my knowledge, I don't want it because I've heard about it from the back end here. And that's how we could stop it right now. That's how mm-hmm. we could stop it. And it's sort of a borderless nation, people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, from where I come from, I don't like to put my ideology, but you don't have to really be Einstein to figure out. I'm with the red, gold, and green over here. Sort of like a nation within all nations. And that's what I view it as. And it's also similar to the movement of people just don't want to get screwed anymore. Like,
yep.
you know, and that's where we're at today, right, Sam?
Yep. I completely agree. I mean, I had my own experiences
I have to disagree on that just to be the disagreeable guy. No, but of course I agree too. But I mean, sometimes, you know what, we need people who disagree. Tell us what you
yep.
think. And then we'll, you know, I don't mind. It's just, it's unbelievable. Like, you and I, we hit this paradigm a few weeks ago where we went, oh, my God. We magneted together, and it just happened to be, like, these two conquering lions that are roaring with, like, just amazingness for knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to also, it's like an addiction, too. It's like, okay, I got this far. I thought I knew it all when I was, like, you know, 18 or 15 or 21. Now I look back to when I'm 29, going up to 30 and higher, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I thought I was so smart back then. And then now I've seen, you know, and this could be another talking point that we get into. I'll share a little bit about my journey. But I wanted to make sure that we covered the important things here for our guests. Like, I'm a guest here with Samantha, so I want people to give feedback. If you guys can type stuff, how's the sound, and give some feedback. And then on your end, I mean, I don't know if you're getting anything back from the listeners through the freedomizerradio.com. I should have shouted that out too, right?
If Sam? There are any, I've already let everybody know. If you are listening right now on freedomizerradio.com, there's a join chat button. You can pop up there, and this is a special show where if you type, I can relay those comments right away. We won't just hold it to the end of the conversation. If you want to call in or you want to type in the chat box because you want to call in or you don't want to call in, there's that option there. And then the sound might take a minute. If you go through the Freedomizer Radio website, the sound might take a minute or two to start loading. So it's there if anybody wants to chat in.
Same here, Sam. Like, I was just giving a shout-out to my friends on my page that, you know, they can type questions and concerns. I've got a good friend here. He's up in the Great North Inuit of Nunavut area. And I was just saying, you know, they have a lot of concerns up there, too, that relate to, you know, how they're treated. I mean, you know, when I'm a guest somewhere and I come onto land and I'm a guest, I really want to, like, you know, take my shoes off and keep myself in their home. And it's the same with the land of the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my hat comes off to the people that, you know, the origination of the land, right? So we're on it. We have to be thankful there. And then the respect
yep.
sort of goes down through everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were saying about the talking points. Yeah, if there was any feedback on that, Sam, where did you want to steer this?
Had my notes and they disappeared.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I had like some notes. I had a really good point. I just mentioned to you one of the talking points, but swear it's just that Canadian chemtrail there, let me tell you. And actually, you know, I can take over here and go with my journey. I don't want to say too much detail. Like, I'll go into that, and you can fumble through some notes, and I'll do the same here, too. Oh, I just shut everything off. But so essentially, even just for instance, when I landed on Sunday night back in the Capitol, it was like literally, so we had talked in the last show about the frog and the water. Well, it was like I could feel the pot boiling. And as soon as the doors opened in the, I was finally free. Now, this was after an hour and a half of interrogation, which we could get into that, too. But I literally got sick from the air immediately. And within about 12 to 24 hours, I could feel my health degrade just from being in Canada, on the island.
Wow.
And that's corporate Canada. Once you're up above ground, you know, you're not in the ground, you're above. You're, you know, essentially subject to the gassings, right? And it was that apparent, you know, it was that apparent that I was literally, and that was after, you know, about an hour to an hour and a half in interrogation. It might have been even closer to about an hour and a half. So it was like, and now the big thing in my eyes, there was many other parts to the story, but now what had happened is that since it had been a while since I had to enter Ottawa, it's exactly like coming into a prison. They take a, almost like a Facebook photo, like your profile pic, in a little box. You got to put your passport in. And I right away bucked it. I bucked the system. Yeah. Wow is exactly right. And I tried to opt out of that. Nope, there's no way out. You could opt out of the picture. I knew I was headed to secondary, which I always am. And anytime you wear anything, like I'll show the on my live page, see the red, gold, and green. Anytime you have that, you're essentially, and everybody that was in the line was either black, mulatto, had a dreadlock, had anything red, gold, and green. It was a direct, to me, a symbolization that I'm at, I am at war. This is a war that I'm on, and I'm a soldier, and I'm my soldiers, and like yourself, I view you as a soldier as well. I mean, maybe we don't want to go that far, but I mean, it has to be because, you know, it's a different jurisdiction level of knowledge that can put you outside and let you access the real land and the real services and sending off something. Maybe the Hydro say, yeah, let me know. I'll pay you that $900, but I'd like to know where my back $900,000 is of, you know, my piece of the pie, right? And then see what happens when they try to cut your power off type of thing. But, I mean, there's these different spectrums within the, you know, rights. If you sign up to that birth contract at the beginning and everything that links off of that, well, later on in life, I got a speeding ticket. Oh, I don't know, it's the end of the world. Or now with all the other manufactured tickets that are out there, it all roots back to that birth. And then along the way, what are they doing with the info? Why is it now I'm entering a prison when I come into Canada? Now, I don't know. I haven't been to every airport, but I know Ottawa is, and I'm entering jail. And an hour and a half of questioning when I don't answer questions. And also what was really funny is that the agents themselves, they are so stupid. Like it's, there's not even a word. I need to actually dig through the regular English dictionary to find words, because in English, I don't know a word. I would just be like, insert every derogatory term and go full AJ here. But it's,
they're nice.
They're so trained. They're so trained. It's so easy to train this little monkey brain that they have. It's like they fit the profile of, you know what I mean? That typical, they can't have the IQ. Because if they went to school, university, and all that, they're protected under the academia. Because if a doctor comes from India, he can't come to Canada and practice until they teach you the way they want you to administer your services as a doctor, okay?
Yeah.
So essentially, the more educated someone is in the academia field, their head is a nut that's hard to crack now because of that indoctrination through the state. That it's being born into it, like they say, there's an idiot born every second, or every, I forget even the term, it's probably every five of them a second, but, and this border guy, everything I just kept spitting at him, finally at the end, it was like a boxing round, he slid all my stuff over to me, and one of the things too, he mentioned, So I blatantly said to him, you know, what's the nature of this investigation? I want to know, because I'm in a position here of power that I could actually strip you of everything. You have no idea what you're doing here. You're a complete pirate right here. Like, even Sesame Street, if you, I don't know, I haven't watched Sesame Street in like 30 plus years, but like, there used to be this guy that would, you have to pay the fees across the bridge, and you know, he would block that bridge. That's essentially what they are. In effing Sesame Street, they were trying to give you a hint. And all through, we know that's a whole other show right there, just what's on TV. The tell, lie, vision. The belief. The lie is in belief. You know, lies are in beliefs. I could tell you a lie about things I went and, you know, a lie that I went to Jamaica. Like, I could be in Jamaica for all you know. But, like at the beginning of the show you were mentioning, I'd like to kind of go with that I'm still in Jamaica, but I'm not, as people can see. But I'm already set to go back. And, oh, well, that's, you know, not to keep the show running all my way here, but before I get off my train of thought. So, entering Jamaica, here's a whole other thing. Did you want me to go over that, Sam, for a minute?
I just have a quick comment from somebody who's listening. Back when you were talking about, like, corporations and, like, everything being kind of, like, way beyond us, one of the guests said everything is too late, time has gone by, and they are light years ahead of us, the new World Order elites.
Oh, wait, Sam, could you back up and read that again from the start? Just maybe a bit slower, my phone kind of cut.
Okay, everything is too late. Time has gone by, and they are light years ahead of us, the NY or NWO elites.
Well, I mean, I can't argue with really anything. I think what the only thing I can tell, say that I could argue with this, not to be an arguing kind of show, but I would say it's not too late. You know why? Because we're here right now. It's never too late. I see the power. But I do agree with everything else. There is a, and I could say NWO could be a whole other show where we come down with, you know, there's a lot of conglomerates. Like, okay, you have the you know, the Mason thing, and that, where is it attached to, you know, Knights Templar. And so that's basically, NWO is basically the buffet of, you know, this is who's holding the earth, you know, why things happen on the globe. Here's the globe. Like, who's fighting for power on the globe? And I don't know if I have. Apparently, I've got bad cell signal right here.
No, you're fine.
Lost. Okay, I want to continue then on that. Okay, yeah, no, I just for my listeners on that end, but I think we're okay now.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry about that. So getting to the thing, I can't, and I hope if I don't know, like your friend that has the comment there. If he'd like to, if he's still following the live show right now, tell us a bit more, because obviously, you know, we're not dealing with baby food here. This is someone that knows he's gotten to the levels of, and hey, you know what? Bring it all out. Because if you know that much, there's pieces of the puzzle that we can't get it all out there. It's literally
oh,
like,
yeah, he's a friend of mine.
Sam and I.
He's quite intelligent. He's one of those people
well, no
where
doubt.
He knows all this shit. He is a very humble and very intelligent man. So I'm very
well,
happy
I'll tell
he
you
tuned
what,
in
I mean,
today.
I'm really glad that he was able to add that because, you know, like we were talking about baby food. Well, he's many steps up, you know, with us and maybe knows more, you know, what more can
he
contribute.
Oh, he's above
me,
man.
And I mean... And there's a whole other, I mean, literally we could get into, I think the best thing is that we stick on a topic that, you know, everybody's interested in. And like your friend was saying about being too late, well, I kind of disagree on that because we're here now and look what we're doing. You know, for all we know, the whole world could join in right now. And, you know, if we just simply, you know, peacefully have a sort of, you know, like rebellion rises, you know, rebelling. You don't have to be violent to rebel. Like, for instance, if you go into a big crowd at a concert of 14-year-old girls at Justin Bieber, they'll push you out of the way. So people chasing, if you put the carrot in front and everybody's chasing that same carrot, we don't want this anymore everywhere.
Yep.
And one of the points I was going to go over once we were more done with the questions that we have or any other things on your end was this entering mm-hmm. Jamaica and dealing mm-hmm. with the customs there on my way in is a whole other.
Yep.
So when, if you have some other stuff, let's go over your notes and then I'll start back with that if people are interested in that.
We are just going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll pop back in and I want to hear what the hell, the difference between you coming to Canada and you going to Jamaica for us. So we'll be right back in about 5 minutes, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I get it. Your parents were jerks and you're traumatized. But that doesn't mean you should use your lousy childhood as an excuse to be a lousy adult. Stop being such a whiner and get past your past already. Buy Get Over It and Get Started, the book by Melanie Hope that will get you out of your self-imposed failure and on the road to greatness. Available in paperback, Kindle, and Nook.
I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it. No diggity, no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze? Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good. I wanna grow it. I wanna taste it.
You're my kind of girl.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden, peacefulbelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
Join me, Chris Levels, the host of Politics and Prophecy on freedomizerradio.com. The show that seeks to educate instead of indoctrinate. Enlighten those that seek knowledge and truth while exposing lawlessness and wickedness within our society. Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the time you can join me and my guest on FreedomizerRadio.com.
This is Tessa Dick, host of Ancient of Days, bringing you readings about history, civilization, and culture, as well as an in-depth study of the Bible. So please be sure to tune in on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Come join us as we peel away the layers of the unseen, unknown, and uncharted. And we hope you tune in late night, 9 p.m. Pacific time, to get ready to find a clarity after dark.
All right, my peoplings, what's up? It is Sam, host of Against the Grain, and we are back today with Andre. And we just spent the first little bit talking about just kind of some brief stuff and particularly touching on his travels between Canada and dealing with the customs and shit there and going down to Jamaica. And he's going to share with us what went on with his travels down to Jamaica and how different they are.
Yes, we're back here, son. Thanks.
Wonderful.
Not to make too much of the show about me because there's such a more important message, but I mean, so part of the mm-hmm. message thing was, I guess, going over there, there was an aspect of it that basically was essentially talking right to the roots Rasta man. Like, make sure, you know, am I crazy or, you know, what kind of stuff do you have? So obviously, I mean, I had to enter the country just like when I entered Canada. Now, you can see our first show was talking about these, like, sort of patterns. You know, I may have sounded crazy to certain people, but I can just see that, like, for your listener there that mentioned the NWO, I can just see the hand gripping. Like, just, it's patting you, like, good slave, you know? Like, one of my friends always mentions the slave thing. And, I mean, not to give, like, I got to watch out when I say that because the black man's slavery was definitely an extremity of all things that, you know, and probably suffered by many other people, too, in places maybe we'll never know about. But, you know, when I say that, I don't say it to take away from that, but to say, if you're really conscious, let's look at the slavery we're under now. Because that's where we're all at now. I'm not my ancestors that got raped, you know, in back in Greece. Then I'm the ones that made it through. So now it's my thing that, you know, the mission is to let people know, hey, if you don't know about the history, if you don't know where you're coming from, you don't know where you're going. And if you don't know what had already happened accurately to our best that we can do, right? Because none of us were there. But, it's quite the thing of where we're at today. And now it runs pretty good common theme throughout, you know, the Rastaman in Jamaica. They kind of know the stuff that, you know, here we look at that, like, that's a big amount of knowledge. Like, look at this stuff. So, oh my God. Like, they knew the basis of it from a long time ago. You know, they knew, you know, so it's a wisdom that, you know, put, you don't have to join into anything. It's just, you either have the knowledge and you'll magnet towards those people. So getting back to this topic we were on is that I guess maybe I'm ignorant to know what it is, you know, the red, gold, and green. I don't generally wear it, the hat. Oh, okay, so the hat played into the questioning as I entered. So, you know, why don't you remove your hat? Because that's basically for you to be capitis diminuto. Sorry, I botched that. It's Latin. I try not to speak Latin. But, you know, if you have something on your head, you're essentially, what ends up happening is that you're claiming that there's a higher authority out there, right? So for them to look at you as the demune thing, the all caps name on ID, is essentially you without having your head, because your head is what makes all the, once they remove the head from the equation, that's the dead legal fiction. So everywhere you go through these jurisdictions, what they want to do is they want to remove the jurisdiction. Or, in fact, like, I'm sorry, you want to remove it because they're trying to imply it. So one of those things that works is having the sort of Rasta tam and saying, well, I mean, you know, I don't need to enter into a contract with you to do services of removing what's on my head. I'd like to verify, for lack of a better word or term, you know, this is confirmed that I have my head intact. Nobody can come and tell me they need to make decisions for the headless man, you know, because once you, that's the layman's terms of what the, you know, that Latin term for all names caps is maximum loss of status. You are not a living man or a woman, you know, and they try to break you down now. You see the pattern where I'm at the Jamaica border now. They're trying to play, you know, oh my God, you know, Bob Marley's actually created a sort of a lighter skinned one now. I'm not the only one, of course. I'm not the first and not the last, or brown, my little tan that I have here. But, you know, oh my God, it's converged into the white people. Oh no, they might unify. Just like how the political system worked with Bob Marley. He tried to bring the Orange Party and the Green Party together on stage. Then suddenly, after a pair of boots that probably came from the CIA with the cancer dart in the toe, hit the toe, melanoma. These are the sort of things that the NWO, you know, getting back to that with your listener that knows this stuff and is an ally with us now. And these are the type of things. And essentially, so to kind of conclude that little venture, a whole cruise ship worth of people, 1,000 people, I was sort of at maybe level, maybe 200 people ahead of me, and 600 to 1,000 behind me coming through the border because of that cruise ship. And essentially what had happened, I'm trying to get out of there, like, you know, but the line of questioning went on so long. It was probably about 35 minutes. That whole cruise ship passed. I was the only one there. Every customs agent was surrounding me. I'd say maybe about, there was maybe about seven of them, you know, in the little five in the booth and a couple hovering around. Everybody was listening. And the main immigration officer of Jamaica, who has the power to, you know, basically deport me technically, right? Says to me, you know, so, well, what's your religion? And I'm like, well, sorry, I don't suffer from religiosis. That's a disease. That's all, you know, I didn't really link it to the Vatican because she might be under the disease too. And I don't want to, like, you know, get deported, right? So I listened a little bit to what she had to say about her beliefs in the Bible. And then and she kept pressing. So I said, Rastafari. Oh, Rastafarianism. I said, no, not ism. There's no ism, schism. I'm sorry. But if Bob were here today, he'd tell you the same thing. And I'm here to basically speak for Bob right now, as many people do. And he wouldn't be down for that. And that's something that brings people to your country right here. And I'm like, pretty authoritative when I talk to her, but still respectful, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, that's what brings people to your island is that culture in that way. And that's what brought me here approximately 7 years ago. And, you know, I didn't, you know, they could be under the assumption, I'm pretty sure they know, like, you know, they can have an idea which status you are and that based because you're carrying a passport. But there's also an assumption there. She doesn't quite know. I may be born in Jamaica and sort of like undercover because a lot of Jamaicans will actually bring their, you know, come in all proud with their outside passport. Look at me. I hit the big time. I'm in the big leagues now, right? So I had it one time. And the reason I know that, small side point here, is that they once had asked me, because I actually got into a fight at the border, I think the last time. And that was part of the reason why I took a little longer to come back and say, you know what, I'm going to retool things and I got to dig a bit deeper on these sort of subjects because, you know, I was sort of ignorant to some of the things and I wanted to make sure of those things and learn a bit more, like kind of like you and I have an understanding of, like, wow, this is amazing to learn this stuff. But essentially, I briefed the whole border at that airport, you know, and at the end, you know, she wanted to stick to her thing with the Bible. And you know what I said? I said, and that's your right, you know. But challenging any of my opinions that I know to be fact, I could tell you a lot about that, but we left it at that, you know. And that's your free right to go with the Bible. And I don't disagree with anything that's in it, really, other than just know there's a lot of that's missing there. You know, don't come to me with that the full story because guess what? There's a lot more. If you want to go with books and stories, there's a lot more that might make it evident that you're on the limited governed. So sort of the religiosis is all basically out of the Vatican. They decided all those different things because it gave them a chance to have wars in different nations and make people clash. Like, look at the control. People just, like, here, do this. And you're, oh, like a fervor. You know?
Absolutely. That's kind of, that's crazy. Have you ever, like, tried, like, calling ahead? Because I know, like, every time we talk, it's like, it seems you have a lot of problems with, like, the people on the lower end who know jack shit. Like, have you ever tried, like, kind of, like, calling ahead and, like, talking to, like, the people at the top who actually know what you're going to talk about? I hope I'm not sounding like a dick. I find that anytime,
but I mean,
like, I intend on being, like, you know, semi-successful, I have to talk to the people at the top because anytime I talk to the people who are just the pencil pushers, they, number one, have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. Number two, I usually end up unsuccessful because either they are accepting and want to do something for me but can't because they don't have the authority to, or if they have no idea
but,
what the hell I'm talking about, I get the cops sicked on me.
Give me a little bit of more an example. Like, does this question relating to, like, my experience at the border with the...
Yeah.
Like, or, like, okay, so getting to that. Well, I had pretty much the highest authority at that location. Like, you know, other than going to the government minister above her would have been the next level. But, I mean, to be honest with you, my opinion is also, too, I try to masquerade as one of the morons that doesn't know anything. Because, you see... if Bob Marley, the way I said it, this isn't something that you want to just, you know, you want to pick and choose who you're dealing with this knowledge, because there's a dangerous thing out there. And I think that goes to a lot of, like, you know, stuff that our friends share on Facebook that we quickly, easily share too. You know, like, you know, that lady that ran to be the chief designate of England for the United States. That woman, if she would have got in, you know, like, she would have been just, you know, anybody in her way just gets steamrolled, if you know what I mean, type of thing. So I think there's a thing while we're in the metamorphosis of knowledge is to sort of, and I mean, sometimes in town you have to blend in. Like, if I just walk downtown wherever and, you know, there's a lunatic in the street, if I just spoke the truth in the street, right? And so there's a sort of way to go about it. But I mean, you're not wrong, like, calling ahead. It's just, I think it's one of those things you have to, like, just experience, like I did. From, maybe I'm wrong, I could call ahead. I mean, I think calling ahead in my case would just be like, don't even bother letting them on the plane in Canada. You know, we don't need any more of that, because there's still a war on the Rostamon. Under Bustamante, they were chopping them down into pieces. I mean, I don't want to get into too close, gory details, but this is something that, you know, was done, you know. So there's a bit of play fool to catch wise is what I'm saying, you know. Sometimes to stealthily get the information, you have to, you know, kind of do those things maybe sometimes. But I don't know. I agree with what you're saying, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just like from my own experiences. Like, I have a library card. Like, I just, this is entirely off topic, but similar in that way. And it's like when I went to go sign up for a library card, everything was fine. Everything was hunky-dory. They have, like, some ways to bypass. Normally, you bring your license and yada yada and everything. But I just had to get a postcard and mail it back to myself to confirm my address. But then I needed some form of ID.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a neat trick.
You know, my ID,
I like that
would...
one.
My showing up and the library knowing who I was, that would suffice. However, they needed something on file. So I went ahead and I got a notarized ID. That was actually the day I sent my stuff back, was switched the license out for a notarized ID. And I talked to, like, the librarian head, the very, like, top CEO librarian. And I just explained to her that, you know, like, y'all put me on, like, this special little, I can only take two things out at a time because, you know, that's kind of crap. Like, I'm a member of this community. You know, it's like I don't feel that's fair, and due to my religious beliefs, that's all I said, was just due to my religious beliefs. I didn't have to explain copious amounts, but, you know, due to them, I cannot have and use a government issued ID, so I use this instead. So I can get, you know, notarized signatures from members of the community saying that I'm real and I don't intend on stealing your things. And, like, it wasn't like a rude conversation or anything. It was simple. Like, she just, like, was like, okay, no, it's cool, just bring an ID and then it'll be good. I'll be like, okay, cool. So it was a very simple and very, like, not so much elegant conversation, but it was very straight to the point, and she just understood right away. Whereas all the people I was talking to along the line, either they wanted to help me, but they did not have the power to do so.
Correct. Yeah. So that's a good point that you made then. I see it clearly and I know what you mean. Sometimes it's like, I mean, it was similar to, I have a similar story, but it's more of, you know, it's not sort of the same, but, you know, the way we went, like, we were trying to get through, like, they have security checks all over Kingston, downtown Jamaica there, and, you know, it was sort of like that. They weren't allowing me in because I dressed like, you know, that, you know, they don't want that lower class looking guy who's down to the roots, you know, wearing sandals and Bob Marley stuff. And, you know, you're not going to be able to clear security to get into this. Well, we're going for a restaurant dinner in Kingston with a club that started to get busier and busier as we're getting the night went on, as finishing the dinner. So essentially I had to override everything. There was the first security, there was the, you know, the police security, there was several layers of it. And so the masquerading sort of just rent-a-cop was the one giving me the most buck, because he's the basically the low man on the totem pole was the biggest, you know, bite, you know, bark and bite of everything, right? So
yep.
I essentially went over him, and luckily I had known the owner of the place from years back coming. And I said, well, I'm here to see Mr. Alex, who's the owner. And then I just kind of pushed through a little bit stronger, right, and walked in. But there was that element that, you know, it's that authoritative border element of judgment, you know, and you have to meet this criteria. Yeah, if I'm going to, you know, meet Obama or something, I'll put on a tie for sure. But, you know, and it's the common man, that little...
I still wouldn't put on a tie.
So you were coining the term about these little, like, kind of bottom feeder people that don't, you know, they can't do anything because they're just, they're basically the little pawns in the system, sadly to say. And, you know, they're just happy to get their little paycheck. Even, I'd say the police are a lot like that too, where I just want my check. I don't care about anything else and pretend I'm doing a good job. So, you know.
Yeah, well, they're not taught anything. It's like, I was watching, like, a video the other day. Have you heard of, like, Edward Robin? Probably, hey?
Well, I mean, I'd probably know stuff to see it. The name doesn't really ring a bell, but concepts of whatever he's got, it probably falls in line with. So what did he have to say?
Well, I was watching one of his videos about, like, it was just a theory of his, but, like, things like, you know, duty to accommodate. He's used that a few times, and they use it quite often when they cite it. Like, if you go to the Supreme Court Lexium, or if you go to canlee.org, and you type in duty to accommodate, they quite often have it in court cases, especially when it comes to work. Like, if you have, like, something that's a special need, like a disability or a religious accommodation or something like that, you can bring it to your employer, and they have a duty to accommodate you as according to the Canadian Charter, and that is according to, you know, like the civil and political rights and all the other shit that Canada is a state party to. Now, they have to be able to do this, and they have to give you options, because if they don't, they're under the gun. But they have to do it without undue hardship, because if it becomes to a point where it's extreme financial difficulty on them, that they can't, that they have to accommodate you, then they can let you go. But otherwise, like, it's amazing how, like, you would think that we would be able to use that for everything, not just employment. When it comes to, you know, going to the bank or going to the border or a thing, like, literally anything. If they can use it for employment, why can't they use it for anything else? But, like, nobody knows about this stuff except for when it comes to employment.
Well,
and, like,
nobody
knows.
The only thing that I would think is just, like, to be the devil's advocate and sort of argue against it or just make a question about it would be that, well, first of all, the first problem I see here is who wants to be employed anyway? Do you really want to be employed? Ask yourself that. But, I mean, yes, we're all in a position, like, at some point or other, I'm pretty sure everybody's had to be employed of something somewhere. And even if, you know, if you're sitting at home on just disability benefits, you're still employed because you're on a payroll and it's coming in. So feel good that you're at home working. And I'm sure you paid enough tax in your whole life, as everyone else did, that we should all just retire right now and send the bill to the government, because we've already been working for free for most of their departments anyway. And we've been overpaid on everything. If you look at the inflation and the dollar, things shouldn't cost, like, you should be able to rent a whole house in Canada for your family for, you know, a few hundred dollars, if not 100 flat. That's the way it should be. That's what the value of the money is. But, you know, they can't tax on things that don't grow exponentially, you know, throughout, you know, when they want and dictate the way they want, right? So, I mean, I would avoid all that stuff in the beginning myself. But if you have to be employed, I think it would break down to what you had said is sort of maybe quasi-jurisdictional. So now you're proving you're in a contract. So, you know, what are the terms? But I don't know. It could be a hidden key to something that could be used. Because what I find is that through the patterns, you know, the recipe works almost on anything. Well, you know, well, there's a contract there. So beware, too, that, you know, well, one, it's a contract, and two, what's in the contract? And three, or before one, let's say zero, would be you don't want to be in contract, so you would have avoided it anyway. And then, you know, by being in the contract, you might be making jurisdiction. So that would be my sort of watch out for that, but let's learn more, because I don't fully know, you know, I don't fully know the whole root of that term, you know. But, you know, I would say it definitely makes sense that a lot of times they'll show, like, something will work in one avenue of the law, and it, in theory, it should work across the table. So, you know, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if that actually does work in many other things, but the secret was only let out in that one little thing, and it could maybe apply to more, and maybe it does through the status, you know, certain groups of people, you know, they might do a crime and they sort of get slapped on the wrist because, you know, there's this other agreement there, maybe a treaty or something, right? I don't know if that made any sense, but...
It did. It did. The only thing that I would come back with that is it isn't so much for the people who are... in this particular case that I was talking about, for example, you and I, there's no duty to accommodate for you and I. However, there's a duty to accommodate for the people who are in the system who need to accommodate us for, you know, our religious beliefs, for whatever that you can call, like, not so much religious. I'm just using that in a context,
that,
spiritual,
layman's
like
terms,
anything
layman's
that.
Terms, yeah.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
When you said that, you see, here's the thing, and actually something from before that just triggered my memory. When you said the charter, you see, in order to access the charter, you have to be a natural person, okay? So now I said earlier the person thing, natural person, puts you into access to the charter. Now, if you become a government employee, you have access, like I would assume, you know, you'd use a divert, like a police officer. Well, how do they speed down the road and not get ticket themselves? Well, they're going under natural. They're accessing the charter, and they're protected under the charter so that they can't be held personal. So as if they're driving on their license when they go in that police car, right? They can't do that while they're on duty, so they're circumventing the system of following rules that we're bound to if we're using the contracted licensing in that state, right? So if we're using the contracted thing, then it boils down to the contract people have to accommodate, and they have to know the, you know, changes in status that people are under at that time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the big things, is that you have to notify. Like when you sent your ID back, you had to notify them, hey, this has been sent back, and hey, by the way, I know it, you've received it. You know, you have to notify them each step of the way. And then it's been said, you know, there's a legal term for that, I guess, notify, you know, you've served them with it. So, yeah, it ties into what you were saying about the, you know, the accommodation. It's just that, you know, there's not a lot of people that will use that, you know, and we oftentimes use the layman's terms of religion to, you know, basically tell people, you know, there's a freedom out there. I mean, and what about the people who just, I'm just, you know, nothing, which is sort of what I am. I'm just looking at all these things, studying each thing. Like I've practiced different brands of things and tried it and met lots of people along the way, but the common theme ran through all of them, the same theme, right? But I think if you remove the religion part and just say, I'm, you know, with the local biker church, and I just, every Sunday we ride a bicycle or ride a motorcycle or whatever it is, and we want to band together to, you know, form our own union of knowledge, and then you've got these people that, yes, they should have access and accommodation under that loophole, just like everybody else. So you don't have to be in something, you just have to want to be free. Like, I guess, freedomizer radio. You want to freedomize, then you're at the right channel. And it's like an energizing, you know, you want to energize and freedomize. And that's why we're here, right?
Absolutely. Oh, shit, what time is it? Do you mind if we take another quick break and we'll be right back? So anybody listening now on www.freedomizerradio.com, you can click on the top right corner, click join chat. There's a little chat box that pops up. You can type, and we'll just relay comments. Any questions you have, feel free to ask them. No question is a stupid question. Or you can call in 319-527-6208. Push 1 to go on air if you want to chat. And we'll be right back.
I'm not getting any sick. I'm not getting sick. I'm not getting sick. I'm not getting sick.
Tune in to Forsaken Generation, Mondays at 1 to 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we will be revealing the true science behind vaccines, the harm they cause, the stories of the affected families just like our own, and much, much more. So tune in and get the stories that the big news channels refuse to cover. This day and age, we must protect our families from those sworn to do no harm. We will not ingest the lies any longer. Mothers, fathers, doctors, scientists, journalists, speaking out on behalf of the health of humanity. So, join my mom, your host, Lynette Barron, on Forsaken Generation, Mondays, 1 to 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Hi, guys. It's me, your host, Red Gypsy, reminding you to come journey into freedom with me every Monday night at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. This is going to be a show that's going to cover everything from metaphysics to holistics to herbs to gardening to barefooting to grounding and so much more. Dare to be different, dare to be you, and dare to learn to love yourself unconditionally. Namaste.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home, MyZestiness.com.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty's Gardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods, and with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market. And we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Hey, everybody. It's Sam, host of Against the Grain, and we are back with Andre talking about a whole bunch of good, fun stuff, including his travels back and forth between Canada and Jamaica, Rastafari, believe it or not. I didn't even know this was a freaking religion until I just Googled it. I've been sitting here just like, oh, nodding along, that's really cool, trying to soak in every single word, and then it just kind of struck me, and I was like, holy crap, this is actually like a belief. So I went and just Googled it, and I've been reading it over the break. It's really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
You there?
You're actually already a Rasta. Look, you've got the hair. You're
yes,
in.
Yes, that is
I mean,
true.
Maybe it's me that has to tell you, hey, I'm sorry to let you know, but you're a Rasta. But see, the thing about the Rasta thing is that it really isn't a religion. So, like, the border ladyism, schism, and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really just it's a nation of people like you and I, who there's no border for us, you know, and there needs to be more of that higher consciousness and banding together. So, I mean, if someone wants to be that and not be that, really the word Rasta, it's like sort of like picture, you know, a bowl of white rice. Rasta is just basically like, you know, the world is full of food options, but, you know, I could just have one bowl of rice and probably eat and I wouldn't die. I'd be enough to live off of, but I wouldn't. And it's basically like removing all the ingredients of the world. That's what Rasta is, just being wherever you are with 2 feet in the soil where you should be, you know, partially clothed. And essentially the original people that were ever anywhere, that's how they live today. It's removing all of that. So Rasta is basically removing everything except what's needed. The only thing you need in life is your 2 feet touching soil with access to some water and nourishment and, you know, nice sunshine. That's really all you need to create everything that you need. And with that, you can be off the grid. And what else do you need? If I'm standing there in the ground with my feet, and the government comes to me and says, no, you need me to hook up this and do that, and you got to sign that birthday, and you got to be this guy, and you got to do what everyone says, because they, you know, and that's the insanity of everything. So it's essentially just that plain bowl of rice that, you know, you can, now one Rasta could say, well, I only eat vegetables, and one eats beef, and, you know, it doesn't matter what you put in that bowl, because that bowl of rice is your life. You can put what you want. If you want hot sauce, you know, and that's basically removing everything. And that's essentially the whole movement, is just you do what you want to do, but make sure what you do in your heart is the good, because you will be judged. And when that judgment happens, make sure you got, you know, something good. Your good is better than your bad, because, I mean, everyone could have made a bad choice in life. But right now, tomorrow, today, and right now, and on the future and forward, you don't have to make a bad choice. You can make a good choice. You can decide, say, you know what, I want to talk to Samantha right now at a Home Depot and say, this has to happen now, because you have the knowledge, I have the knowledge, people out there have the knowledge. We're just not sitting down and talking. And that's one of the things about Rastafari and being in Jamaica, is sitting down with real people who you would never believe, looking at them, that they have such an education, because they refuse to be educated through academia, through the, you know, which would root back to the Queen of England and that power, because that's the one that chooses. It's just like when I drop off the little kids, sometimes I walk them up to the school and I notice there's only select flags on the wall, like learn about Argentina and learn about, let's say, Italy. You know, they're going to pick basically the, history pieces they want you to know for, you know, the way we want to groom you. And I could go on and on of other little examples, but, yeah, so.
No, that makes absolute sense. I was just browsing through Wiki and I found this one sentence in Wiki that was kind of just like, It just put it all in place. It's like emphasis placed on the idea that personal experience and intuitive understanding should be used to determine the truth or validity of a particular belief or practice. No Rasta, therefore, has the authority to declare what beliefs and practices are orthodox and what are heterodox. The conviction of Rastafari has no dogma is so strong that it has itself become something of a dogma, according to Clark. But it was just like, it's kind of like, that makes a lot of sense.
Well,
so long as you follow natural law, nobody can really say what's the path to get there. Just, don't be a dink, and everything's good.
Well, I mean, when I dealt with the border, she, was bucking the thing because she knew full well what it was. And basically, I mean, anything based on full real roots of truth is a threat to the whole establishment. Like our listener mentioned, the November whiskey Oscar, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I mean, you may inadvertently sort of be, it's basically us, and I inadvertently just happened to different journeys on my life pointed me in that direction. And for instance, actually part of the show, part one show, that something I wanted to mention about the Jamaica and Rastafari, and well, even Jamaica, when I say Jamaica, I'm technically, I would say I'm saying Jamaica, so Jahmaika. So I don't even use the name, because that's the English, name up in England, and the land is actually that. But one of the points I wanted to get to about the nation states and part of part one show that we missed was how one of the questions going here, going there, coming and going. Over there in Athens, Greece, we had sort of a little, I had sort of gotten into sort of the underground world of people who had to sort of hide from the government a little bit. Maybe one of the negative points of Greece being old country, still mindset with the authoritative, trying to control the people type of thing, but still freer than over here, essentially. But I ended up sort of connecting with these, Rastas. Not all of them had the exact outlook, but fairly the same as you and I. And there was Krishna. Krishna was also very similar, very good, and I wouldn't say like, go join all, I'm not endorsing them, but they're, there's nothing bad about them really. And they knew a lot about the other, this Vatican controlled stuff, like they had a little bit touching on that. But in Athens, I was sort of at one time, it was quite difficult to get any, weed. And to me, the way they saw me at that time was that I could have been some kind of government agent because, he could be from England. I had that, I didn't fit in quite yet, even though I had ID to show, look, my roots are here and that. But so the Rastas were able to, right away make this connection. Now, it was funny that when I decided to go to Athens, I hadn't been to Jamaica yet. But I was rolling the dice at the time. I just knew I had to go searching for the answers. And I rolled the dice on Greece or Jamaica. I had sort of been near Jamaica in the 90s and traveled around and had a little bit of the influence and had the taste for it. But I decided at that point to go over there and do sort of studying the bag of things that I did over there that got me to. So, which was, I know 9/11's, what it is. I had already kind of had this basis of knowledge. I just didn't have the sort of, like we talk about, the legalese and the changing of words, Do you understand me? Like, well, you never want to understand because you're saying you're looking up at a government. I look up, I see a sky, sun, moon, stars, clouds, and God. He's up there. You're not up there. So I look down on you, so I overstand because I'm up there with him. You know what I mean? And I think we can agree on that, as many could agree on that. So you have sort of common ground with all these. Now, everybody with their Bibles, you're invited. Bring the Bibles, and it's as long as you're on the positive track, positive, rebellious, rebellion. you know, rising up.
Yep. Abso-freaking-lutely. There we go.
That's why our connection was so, you know, like, you know, it's not like, you know, I mean, we essentially agree on everything, but I mean, it's not, a show is really good when you get people who, you know, are just starting to go, you know, I'm getting off of the baby food. And, you know, and some people know, like, you know, the parent kind of know stuff like, oh, you know, that's a scam. Look at that. And the younger folks, okay, old pops, you know, but they do have some information too. It's just that, you know, when you tell someone who's in their 60s, your whole life's a goddamn bloody lie. I was going to get mad there, bleep that out. But, you know, it's hard telling someone older than you. You know, in their eyes, it can look disrespectful. So they get puffed up and they get all, you know, everything becomes all tribal peacock going out, you know, like it's all just, you know. And so that's where you get those walls. I mean, that people, once you shatter the illusions, like their whole life is, and it, I went through it like even again a few weeks ago when we first, you know, were saying we got to do the show. I was hitting another plateau of, oh my God. And, you know, you just, like I said earlier, you want to play fool to catch wise. And also, too, like, we didn't get here just, we listened to people and I followed a lot of things, too, I could get into. But, you know, we're here, right?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Like we mentioned on the other show, it's... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like the other show, it's time to start kind of connecting people and building community because there's more and more people that are starting to wake up and realize and actually want to, you know, do something about this. I had a nice little rant today about, you know, you wake up and you realize that, you know, things are crap. You go through your angry phase because you're angry because everything you taught was a lie. Then you get really sad and think, well, what's the point? And then you pull up your big girl panties and you're like, hey, let's do something about this. And that always starts with yourself. That always starts with the heart and, like, learning more and putting, you know, your ego away to approach every subject. Be like, I know shit. Teach me something. You know, it's like you might know something, but there's always that room to learn more. And you take in new information, determine whether or not it's going to jive with you. Don't let emotions get too much in the way of that, of, you know, facts and reality. We all have our own perceptions of reality, you know. However, it starts with us. So it's about time that, you know, we start connecting and making things out of this. Because there's more and more people waking up, and there's more and more people that are realizing, like, you know, the system is crap. They've had enough. I mean, when you yourself, you know, who's been woke, and you step on Canadian grounds, and you get treated like, you know, some sort of criminal, and you're getting sick right away, people know that there's something wrong. They just don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, there was a couple, I mean, ideas I had in what you were saying there. I mean, like even getting back to the comment that was made from our guest 731 there, he said, everything is too late, time has gone by, and they're light years ahead of us. I mean, yeah, I mean, he sort of, you know, in a way, everything he said was true. I was just saying the fact that us banding together is the big thing. I mean, and I mean, we have the tools out there. Like I said, just standing on the ground, we can build things that can take in the sun. You know, we have a lot of power going, like, for us, and it's inner power. You know, like we have the power to. And I noticed this, too, like you were saying, when I came back, I got sick right away. Like, it was just like, oh, my God, not a flu. It was just an attack of a bag of sicknesses, like the air, the water, the everything right away was noticeably, like, just changed within 12 to 24 hours. This is how quick you can start getting sick. And the problem is that most people don't even know they're getting sick. They're just like, oh, you know, like, but... I don't know. I mean, there was another couple points I had. What did we just go over with? You had a lot of subjects there, so I just lost towards the beginning. You were saying something, and it really set off a topic, but I've sadly lost that train of thought. Did you have anything else, Sam? Or guiding me back to what I should know? Something about, you know, these plateaus, right? Like, when I hit the plateau, it was like I was on a drug. Like, it started hitting my head, and I could feel, like, just, like, blood started to pump through my body, like, differently. And I had, like, a soothing soul feeling. Like, it was just, like, this high that sent me look. And even though it was, like sort of rock climbing, and I got to this plateau, but I see there's another distant thing to climb again. So I wanted to start pawing through, and that's what pushed me to go to Jamaica really fast, because I said, you know what? There's nothing more powerful than the knowledge. This is what I've got to do. You know, this is what I have to do right now. And it's just all part and parcel of everything that we're talking about. It's all connected, you know, and, you know, it's for everybody too, right? This removing these. Oh, and one of the things was about, you know, everybody can see this is not rocket science, and I see it in Jamaica, I see it here, and I've done the Euro and back, and okay. So essentially, like, right now, every one of us said that's listening. Let's say we have 10 people here. If we all said, you know what, all 10 of us have $1,000. Let's take the 1,000. We have each have 1,000 to play with, okay, or even 100. Because some people don't even have 1,000, and some people are down in the hundreds, and that's like pennies compared to what you could buy. I remember going to this store called Perrette. P was like a P, Perrette, in Montreal, with a $2 bill. And I was like, you know, a kid, you know, underage, well underage, maybe even under 10. And I'd buy a pack of cigarettes and some, you know, popsicles, and I'd still get change back with a $2 bill. So, you know, in theory, the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, if we all put 1,000 or 100 and we have 10,000 or 100,000, if every week we bought, you know, like this week we're going to buy 100,000 in rice, well, then we've got rice at a fraction of the cost that any, you know, we could compete with any store. But how it works is that the NWO, they manipulate all the currencies, and what comes out the top, they lop it off in gold for them, or essentially whatever it is, currency. I mean, but let's look at it like, you know, they lop off the top, and everybody just pays more. So, you know, picture I'm carrying a clarinet. You know how each wire holds the hand and everything? Well, that's the bag of currencies, is the puppet that they're holding. And the arm goes up, and the foot goes down, and you go up, and you know what? What comes out of the head is the top, the money. That's why everything's going up, because our money's not buying more. So one of the grassroots things to do is go, like, for instance, when I had a few bucks in my pocket, I'd see a friend that's in a jam. Oh, no, no, I don't need to borrow money. It's okay. No, no, here's 150 bucks, because guess what? That's going to sit in my wallet for about a week. I won't even know it's there. It's not working for me. It's sitting there. Take it. And we don't have that mentality. And I mean, I've tried to do that in other ways. And, you know, when the agreement was the money comes back, well, we all know, like, you know, there's piles of money out there. You know, we went to the wrong people. But there's a way that if you did it properly, and I mean, it's just to give an example that each week our money should be getting more powerful. So you get things that people are doing where we've got this currency. I should have put a plug to get some more people on that cube thing, but I don't know enough about it to really explain it. I get the gist of it. But, I mean, essentially it's that mindset, you know, like what we're doing, coming together. And you would give that power to, you know, every week be able to have a stronger buying power instead of everything is worth less and everything costs more. Like you started the show about your, you know, what they were going to do to you. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got about 2 minutes left, so I want to say a big thank you for coming on the show again today. This has been time just flew. I can't even believe how quickly this went by. Holy crap. This is absolutely awesome. We may have to do a part three at some point in the future.
I mean, definitely, because, I mean, and thanks to everybody, too, you know, we want want to just share it with everybody and share what people, what's on their minds and stuff too, not just for you and I, but definitely because it's well worth it. It's definitely
worth it. Absolutely. This is good. It's good to start getting this information out there, free and accessible for people, and get people's voices out there. But we have Proof Negative show coming up next, that Real Patriot News, so stay tuned for that. And we will see you guys again next week, Wednesday, with the new guest. Big thank you for Andre to coming on the show tonight. And you can always pop by his Facebook. He does lives quite often and shares a lot of his information there. So feel free to check it out, and we will see you guys again next week. Have a very happy Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye.